There's a place in Ephesians that if you've come to the, if you're able to come to the Wednesday night Bible study that you heard, but it's just the heart of the gospel. And so this morning, I thought about this and just stirred my heart again. Actually, I was thinking about it the other day. Let me read, this is 10 verses, but let me just show you the heart of God and the heart of the gospel. It's just extraordinary. It says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of the flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and you were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, transgressions, he made us alive together in Christ. By grace you've been saved. And he raised us up together and seated us together in heavenly places in Christ, in order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith. That's not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Just extraordinary stuff. We don't have time to look at all the amazing, cool stuff here. There's just some things that I want you to see. Because in the first four verses, the first three verses, there's a real clear, yucky description of what we all were saved out of, what we were before Christ. And it talks about the fact that basically I lived controlled by a demonic sin nature, indulging the desires of the flesh and anything my mind could think of. That's really what those verses say. You were living according to the course of this world, the mindset of this world. We lived under the power of the prince of the air. And again, this demonic spirit that's working in the sons of disobedience, this demonic sin nature that we all were governed by. But then it says in verse 4, this crazy great scripture, this verse, it's just so stunning. I think 4 through 6, you could just live with that forever. "But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us." The word rich here could really be better translated filthy rich. Just not just rich, but just filthy rich. God being filthy rich in mercy. And the reason he's so filthy rich in mercy is because he loves us. Now, he's not talking about loving us after we've got saved. He's talking about loving us when we were in that condition where we were being governed by a demonic sin nature, fulfilling all the desires and the lusts of the flesh and anything we could think of. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love for us, not just I love them because I'm God and it's kind of what I have to do, but God's great love for us. And that word great there is a word, just he was full of love. It's not just a passive thing, it's a passionate thing. And again, this is when we were lost. See, the idea of an angry God who hated sinners, poured out all of his anger and wrath on the person of Jesus instead of on us, which is what he wanted to do or should have done, that's a false narrative. God so loved the world before the world ever was redeemed. He poured out his wrath on sin. Jesus took our sin. Sin is what he hated because sin was destroying humanity. God being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together in Christ. By grace you've been saved. And raised us up together and seated us together in the heavenly places in Christ in order that he could show in all the ages to come what his kindness looks like being poured out on us in Christ. By grace you're saved. It's a gift. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. We had nothing to do with it. There was nothing we could offer. There was nothing fallen man could do about their condition. When you read about that condition in verse 3, it's stunning how bad it was. There's not a thing we could do. And before we ever took one step towards him in response to his grace, he did everything. But what's cool is that he doesn't say, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love for us, forgave us." Because many Christians think that forgiveness is like the height. That's like the pinnacle of our relationship with God, that God's forgiven me. And that's true. But it doesn't even mention that here. Forgiveness is just clearing the deck so that God could do what he wanted to do, and that was to create something totally new. God, being rich in mercy because of his great love for us, did what? He made us alive together in Christ. and he raised us up together and seated us together in the heavenly places in Christ. God didn't just deliver Joseph out of the pit and out of Potiphar's house and out of the prison. He did all that to place him in the palace. And God's vision for us and his rescue attempt for us isn't that I'm going to stamp them forgiven so that they go to heaven one day. No, I'm going to include them into the life of Christ so that they're one with his life. And they're going to be raised up with him, and they're going to then be seated in the heavenly places, invited to participate in the divine dance of the triune God. That's what he did. He didn't just rescue me out of the pit. He put me in the palace. It says this in Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. And he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. And many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. That's a powerful thing. He didn't just bring my feet out of the miry clay. He set it on the rock of Jesus. Put a new song in my heart. When he says, think about this, there's a place, I think it's Isaiah 60 that says that we're, let me just find it. Instead of me trying to think of it, let me find it. Isaiah 62. He says about his redeemed people that you will be like a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord. He will rejoice over you like a bridegroom rejoices over his bride. God will rejoice over you. And your name will be, my delight is in her, because the Lord delights in you. So when you read Ephesians 2, this section of scripture, and you think about where his workmanship created in Christ Jesus, the fact that I was lost, I was controlled by the demonic sinful nature, which of course means that the enemy was controlling my life, the lust of the flesh, the lust of my mind, all those kind of things, indulging, living a life of self-indulgence. He says, but God, being rich in mercy, did something about that. And it wasn't primarily forgiveness. Forgiveness was there, but that wasn't what he was after. What he was after is that he would elevate me. He would elevate you to the place that you were created to share as the bride of Christ. And that you were raised up with Christ. You're in union with him. You were crucified with him. But he doesn't even mention that. He just wants to focus on the fact that you were raised up, made alive together in Christ, raised up with Christ, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's who you are. That's your destiny. That's what he's accomplished. That's remarkable to me. That's stunning to me. Why did he do all that? What's the ultimate deal? Because of my rescue and changing me and transforming me, yes, but even more than that, listen to what it says again. In order that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. That he might do what? Show off his crown of beauty, his bride. People who are lovesick, a guy who's lovesick loves to take his bride into any place and show off his bride. Makes him want to strut. And that's how God feels about you. That's what he says about you. He didn't just deliver you out of that place and go, okay, you're forgiven. You're not in that rotten place anymore. He said, oh, no, no, that was not. Getting you out of that was not ever the goal. Getting you into this was always the goal. That you would be in Christ Jesus, seated in the heavenly places, sharing the life of the palace, brought into the fellowship of the Trinity. We'll forever be the bride of Christ so that I can show you off in all the ages to come. And in showing you off, it displays my glory and it displays my nature. His goal was not just so he wouldn't have to be mad at us anymore, so he forgave us. It never was that. It never was the issue. He wasn't mad at us. But look what he did. And so one of the things I think God wants us to do is for our minds to be renewed and begin to really understand how much bigger than it is we may have ever thought about this thing we call salvation. We're not seated next to him in the heavenly places. We're seated in him in the heavenly places. We share in his position, in his authority, in the fellowship he has with the Holy Spirit and the Father. That's nuts. That's the salvation. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love for us, didn't just forgive us. That's not even mentioned. He did all that. And he'll show us off for all the ages. Isn't that cool? Don't you like it when somebody comes into the body of Christ and they're just a mess? It looks like a hopeless mess. And somebody has a vision for who they are in Christ and they're committed to getting them from that mess to that place. Instead of just condemning them, not wanting to hang with them. You know, lepers, you hang out with lepers. You love to get leprosy. But Jesus kisses the leper. His vision for us was not just to get us out. He saw who we were in Christ. His goal was always to get us to that exalted place. We were created for nobility, for regality and authority in Christ. That's what he saw, not just forgiven. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.